Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about oil, and specifically the export of Russian oil. Oil is Russia's single largest export and is the most vital commodity to the success of the Russian economy. So in today's episode, we'll have a detailed look at Russia's oil exports in September. We'll see what's going on with regards to the trend. So there is a downward trend at the moment, partially driven by the global situation because we're seeing a global slowdown, and partially driven by the fact that countries are specifically looking not to buy Russian oil. So we'll have a look at what's going on with the trend. We'll then have a look at specifically the breakdown of where Russia's exports are actually going to. We'll then talk about what's been going on with regards to oil prices. And I'll share with you a chart that shows the level of discounts that Russia have been offering throughout the crisis. I'll briefly touch on what's going on with regards to the EU oil ban and the oil price cap. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think the implications are for the Russian economy of what's going on with regards to oil right now, and also what's likely to happen over the next 3 to 6 months. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos, so if you don't have time to watch the entire thing, you can pick and choose what you'd like to look at. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube, Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon and Amazon shopping links. And I'd just like to say once again, thank you so much to everybody that has supported the channel, and a special shout out today to Ricardo, who bought me a large amount of coffee recently. This chart shows a breakdown of the export of Russian crude oil in the period from May 21 through to September 22. Now, as I'm sure you're aware, the invasion of Ukraine started on the 24th of February 2022. So the period up to February 22 is pre-war, and from March 22 onwards, it's post-war. And if we look firstly at the total amount of oil that Russia has been exporting, in February 22, Russia was exporting 3 million barrels of oil per day. And it's really interesting to note that from March through to August, the total amount of exported oil actually increased to more than 3 million. And in April and May, which was at the start of the war, the total volumes were actually above 3.5 million barrels per day. However, over the last few months, total volumes have been declining. And in September, the total amount has returned back to 3 million barrels. Now, as I mentioned in the introduction, the reason that we've seen a decline over the last few months is partly because a lot of countries are making a conscious effort not to buy Russian oil, particularly the countries of Europe. However, this is currently voluntary. There isn't an official sanction in place from the European Union that prevents countries from buying Russian oil. And the other factor that's been affecting total volumes is the slowdown in the global economy. And that slowdown has actually led to a reduction in prices. But I'll come on to talk about prices and the value of the oil that Russia is exporting later in the video. Now, as you can see from the different coloured sections, this chart shows us the destination of all of the Russian crude exports. And what this chart shows is that over the 7 months since the start of the war, there has been a complete change in the sales mix. If you have a look at the key over on the right-hand side, you can see that the different countries are shown by different colours. And right at the bottom, we've got India in very dark blue. Now, if you look at the first 10 months of this graph, from May 21 through to February 22, there were virtually no sales from Russia to India of crude oil. However, over the last 7 months, there has been a dramatic increase in those exports. So you can see that the dark blue section at the bottom of each bar chart has been growing quite rapidly. And in September, the total volume of oil exported to India was close to 1 million barrels per day. China is the next country shown on the chart in slightly lighter blue. And you can see that in the pre-war period, Russia was exporting significant amounts of oil to China. And in February 2022, the total exports to China were around 500,000 barrels per day. That figure has increased significantly. And you can see in September, the exports were closer to 1 million barrels per day. Turkey's the next country on this chart, and you can see that in the pre-war period, some sales were made to Turkey. However, post-war, those sales have increased significantly. And specifically in August and September, there was a major increase in the volume of exports. Italy's the next country on the chart, and I think this is a really interesting situation because pre-war, Italy was importing a reasonable amount of oil, although the amounts did fall in January and February. But over the 7 months of the war shown on this graph, there has been a significant increase in the amount of oil that Italy is importing. Now, as I said at the start of the video, there isn't actually an embargo on European countries buying Russian oil right now. It's a voluntary arrangement. Most countries have stated that they don't want to keep buying Russian oil, but there isn't actually any penalty for doing so. So Italy is perfectly entitled to increase the amount it's buying. And it's been reported in the press that there are two reasons why Italy has significantly increased its purchases. Firstly, it's been taking advantage of the discounts that's been offered on Russian oil, so it's cheaper to buy Russian oil than it is to buy US or Qatar or Saudi Arabian oil. And secondly, one of the largest oil refineries in Italy is actually owned directly by a Russian company. And that Russian company has been trying to move as much volume as possible through that refinery. The next country shown on the list is the Netherlands. And the Netherlands is a relatively small country from a population point of view, only around 5 million people. But because of its history and its coastal location and its situation in the middle of Europe, it's actually one of the biggest refiners of oil. So Europe's largest refinery is based in the Netherlands, so it's a middleman. It buys in a lot of oil, it refines that product, and then it sells it to a variety of other countries. And you can see that in the period up until the start of the war, the Netherlands was a major buyer of Russian oil. However, you can also see that over the last 7 months, there has been a significant reduction in the amount of oil that the Netherlands is buying from Russia. Bulgaria is the next country on this list, and sales are shown in pink. And you can see that pre-war, Bulgaria was buying a small amount of oil, but post-war, it's actually increased its purchases significantly. And again, this is to take account of the discounts that are being offered on Russian oil. Now, if we look at the next four countries as a batch, Poland, Romania, Lithuania, and South Korea were buying significant amounts of Russian oil prior to the war. However, if you look at the chart, you can see that there has been a dramatic reduction in those purchases, and they are now very small. And then I think one of the most surprising things about this chart is the sale of Russian oil to the rest of the world, excluding these 10 countries we've just talked about. And you can see that prior to the start of the war, there was a significant amount of sales, almost 1 million barrels per day back in May 21 were being sold to other countries. However, over the course of the last 7 months, we've seen a dramatic reduction in those sales. And in September 2022, the figure was minuscule, less than 200,000 barrels per day. And that represents a really big problem for Russia, because as we move forward and the EU ban comes into place, all of the sales to the European countries on this list, excluding Bulgaria that has an exemption, will disappear. And Russia is struggling to find other markets to be able to sell into. So it shows that it's really dependent on India, China, and Turkey taking up the slack on all of those volumes. So as I mentioned at the start of the video, officially right now, there is no official ban on any European country buying Russian oil. However, on December the 5th, the official ban does kick in. And from that date forward, European countries will not be able to buy Russian oil that's delivered over the sea. There is an exemption that stays in place with regards to pipeline supplies. And the reason that that exemption has been agreed is that a number of countries in Central Europe are finding it very difficult logistically to be able to find alternative suppliers. Because if you don't have a port where you can take delivery from the USA or Saudi Arabia or Qatar, then you need to make agreements with other countries, and then you need to work out how you're actually going to transport all those major volumes. So in the short term, an exemption has been agreed. However, that will be assessed on an ongoing basis. And those countries that are given an exemption are not allowed to export any of that oil. So you can't act as a middleman, import lots of oil from Russia, and then mark it up and sell it on to somebody else. So this is only for own consumption purposes. Now, the ban that's coming in on December the 5th only applies to crude oil. And crude oil is basically oil in its very basic form. It needs to be refined through a refinery before it can be used in vehicles, aeroplanes, those sorts of things. So you need to take crude oil and then convert it into gasoline and diesel, aviation fuel, all those type of things. In addition to crude oil, a ban is also coming in for refined products that are being exported by Russia, but that doesn't take effect until February the 5th. And the reason for that is to allow all of the countries of Europe a transition period so they can get ready to make sure that if they're not buying finished products directly from Russia, that they've got access to sufficient volumes to keep their markets going. So what effect will the implementation of the ban actually have on Russian exports? Well, it's been estimated by the EU that this ban will hit 90% of all products that are being exported from Russia to the European Union. And as the EU represented more than half of all of Russia's exports, this is going to have a massive impact. Now, as you saw earlier in this video, there has been a winding down of the amount of oil being purchased by a number of European countries over the last 6 months or so. But when this ban comes into effect, all of those purchases will stop. And that's going to be a major problem from Russia's perspective, because they're currently producing around 10 million barrels of oil per day, and they need to find a home for that because they don't have anywhere to store it. So even though they've been offering discounts and prices have been going down, at least they've kept the volumes flowing. But Russia is now facing the very real prospect of not being able to find enough markets for its oil, and that could mean that it has to reduce its production output, and that could be a major problem for the Russian industry. The G7, which historically were the biggest seven economies in the world, being the USA, the UK, Germany, France, Italy, Japan, and Canada, have been working on the concept of an oil price cap for Russian oil exports. And it's now been announced that the intention is that this oil price cap will take effect on December the 5th alongside the EU ban on oil purchases. And Australia have now confirmed that they are joining the G7. So we've got a G7 Australia alliance for this cap. Now, the way that this cap will work is that Russia will be allowed to sell oil to any country in the world that it wants to. However, Russia will obviously need to ship that oil, so it'll need to load up lots of vessels. And in order to get the insurance, the brokerage, the finance, and the navigation facilities that are needed for all of those ships, the price that Russia sells that oil at will need to be at or below the agreed price cap. Now, the official price of this cap has not been announced yet, but it's rumoured in the markets that the price is likely to be $63, because that's seen as being a level above Russia's cost of production. Now, we don't know exactly what Russia's cost of production is, but it's estimated that on average, it's around $40 per barrel. So a price of $63 would give Russia a $23 per barrel profit. Now, obviously, $63 is significantly below the market rates right now, so they would be essentially selling at a discount. Now, a price cap of $63 is actually not that far away from the price that Russia has been selling its oil for over the last 7 or 8 months, due to the fact that it's had to offer a discount to buyers. So you may be thinking, what's the point of this price cap? Because Russia are going to receive the same amount as they're receiving anyway. But the main driver from the G7 and Australia's perspective is that they want to try to regulate these Russian exports. At the moment, Russia is striking individual deals with countries all around the world, and it's likely that as the sanctions kick in and Europe bans all of these purchases, that certain countries could start trying to do black market deals, these ship-to-ship transfers where they can take Russian oil in the middle of the ocean and then disguise it as their own oil and try to sell it into the markets. And the G7 and Australia don't really want that. They don't want a black market developing for Russian oil. They would rather do it on a more open book basis. And the benefit of all of this to everybody apart from Russia is that it guarantees lower prices in the market. So it will bring the price of oil down, which is what the global economy needs right now, because we're teetering on the brink of a recession. So we really need oil prices to be manageable to keep inflation down and to give everybody a chance to start building their economies back up again. Now, clearly from Russia's point of view, they don't want to have an oil price cap. They don't want the G7 and Australia dictating what terms they can sell their oil for. And Russia have come out and said that they won't sell any oil to any country that supports the price cap. And in a worst case scenario, they will withdraw from the global market entirely. Now, as I've mentioned before, that is not a realistic situation for Russia to be in. Because they've set up all of their facilities, they need the oil to keep flowing. If you cap an oil rig, it's going to cause you major problems in the future when you want to start up that production again. Russia doesn't have anywhere to store its oil, so it needs to keep finding places to buy it. So actually, from Russia's point of view, their threat of pulling out of the market isn't a real one. They couldn't do that unless they wanted to destroy their own industry. So they definitely need to keep selling. And one of the problems that they face is that they don't have enough ships right now to be able to transport all of this oil to India and China. So they do need those shipping services that are provided predominantly by Western countries. So the oil price cap could actually be a major problem for Russia. And it'll be really interesting to see what their reaction to it is on December the 5th. This chart shows the movement in the price of a barrel of crude oil over the course of the last 12 months. So if you follow the channel, I'm sure you've seen this chart before. You'll be familiar with the shape of the curve. What we've seen is that from the start of the war on the 24th of February, there was a huge increase in oil prices. They rose from around about $85 per barrel to more than $120. And prices remained extremely high in the period through to the end of May. However, because of concerns over a global slowdown, and particularly a slowdown in the Chinese economy, we've seen the price of oil steadily reducing over the course of the last few months, and prices are now back down to a similar level to what they were trading at prior to the start of the war. And the reason I wanted to highlight this is to show the impact of this on Russian revenues. So if we jump back to this chart, which shows the total amount of exports over the last 12 months or so, you can see that in the early stages of the war, Russia actually was exporting more oil than it was historically. They got up above 3.5 million barrels per day in April and May. And that coincided with this period of extremely high prices when barrels of oil were selling for more than $100 each. However, over the course of the last 4 months, we've seen a significant reduction in the amount of oil that Russia is selling, and it's now down to around 3 million barrels per day. And that period has coincided with a major fall in oil prices. So from $110 per barrel that we were seeing a few months ago, it's now down to somewhere in the region of $85. So that represents a significant reduction in the total revenues for Russia, because the combination of a fall of 500,000 barrels per day in volume and a drop of around $25 per barrel in price means that the total amount of Russian revenues have fallen by around $12.5 million per day. However, in reality, the situation for Russia is significantly worse than this, because Russia has not been selling its oil at market prices. It's actually had to introduce a discount policy to encourage countries like China and India to take more of their volumes. So let's have a look at the discounts that Russia have been offering throughout the whole of this period. This chart shows the price difference between Russia's crude oil and Brent crude oil since the start of February 2022. So you can see that at the start of this period, there was virtually no difference between Russian crude and Brent crude. However, almost instantly after the invasion started, there was a huge drop in the price of Russian crude. And at the start of March, the average price of a barrel of Russian crude was trading for around $28 less than it was for Brent crude. And over the course of the next month, as the war continued and more countries made a conscious decision not to buy Russian oil, the discount actually increased further. And by the start of April, it was around $35 per barrel. So that means that despite the fact that the market price of oil was around $100 per barrel at that time, Russia was only achieving a price of around $65 for the sale of all of its oil. So the increased volumes that Russia was seeing at that time of around 15% were being more than offset by a 35% reduction in the price. So on a net basis, Russia was actually doing worse from a total revenue perspective. And if we look at this graph, you can see that for the four-month period from the start of April through to the start of August, that discount remained fairly constant at around $35 per barrel. And over that period, we've seen prices starting to come down significantly. So as I just showed you, from the highs that we saw at the end of May of around $110, we're now down to around $85. And a $35 discount against an $85 price obviously takes the price for Russia down to $50 per barrel. And we haven't seen a market price of $50 per barrel for years. Now, as you can see from this chart, over the course of the last month or so, Russia has actually started to reduce the amount of discount that it's offering to purchasers. And it's interesting that over that period, Russia has seen a reduction in the amount of exports, as I just showed you in the chart earlier. So what this tells us is that buyers are price sensitive. If Russia isn't offering these significant discounts, then they would prefer to buy their oil from somebody else. And that puts Russia into a very difficult situation, because they don't want to keep selling oil at a massive discount, because on a net basis, they're losing out. But the problem they're facing is that if they do try to increase their prices, they lose volume and therefore lose revenue because they're not getting the sales. So it's catch 22. They found themselves in a very difficult situation here. People will buy Russian oil if it's cheap, but if it isn't cheap, then the downside of doing that is too high. and India and China would prefer to buy their oil from elsewhere. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because oil is so important to the Russian economy. What's going on with the sale of oil has a direct link to the success of Russia. I showed in a recent video that in 2021, oil accounted for around 21% of total GDP in Russia. So if Russian oil revenues fall, then GDP will fall and the economy will go further into recession. And in that video, I did question whether or not a 20% fall in Russian oil revenues that we've seen recently, how can that translate to a 4% fall for the Russian economy for 2022? It just doesn't stack up. There is a closer relationship than that. If oil is going down 20%, it's likely that the economy is going to go down by a similar figure. So the figures that we've seen today show that the total volume of Russian oil has been declining over the last few months and is now back down to a similar level to what it was prior to the war. But the problem that Russia has got is that over the course of the last few months, whilst we've seen those declines, prices in the market have also come down. So when you combine falling volumes with falling prices, that means that you've got falling total revenue. But the situation is actually significantly worse than that for Russia, because as we've just seen, the discounts that they're offering in the market mean that Russia's actually receiving significantly less than the market prices. And the prices that Russia's achieving on its sales date back to a period from about 4 or 5 years ago. So this is really sending the Russian economy backwards. All of the countries that are partaking in the sanctions have exited from all of their purchases, apart from the Netherlands and Italy for specific reasons. And over the course of the next 6 months, it's likely that their purchases will also come back down to zero. So we've seen all of those countries bailing out. They don't want to buy Russian oil. We have seen India and China stepping up, and Turkey have increased its purchases as well. But those increased volumes are nowhere near enough to offset the volumes that Russia has been losing. And it's been really interesting to see that over the course of the last month or so, there hasn't been a continued increase in those purchases. China has its own problems right now with regards to its economy. So that will be a constraining factor. But one of the other big constraining factors is the amount of oil that Russia can physically ship to India and China, because a lot of its exports are going over the sea. Now, at the moment, there is a massive change in the global supply chain. So Europe is now buying a lot more oil and liquefied natural gas from the USA and the Middle East. And in order to get all of those products to Europe, they need to be put onto ships. So there's been a huge increase in shipping demand over the course of this war. And everybody is now chartering as many ships as they can get. And that's going to be a major problem for Russia, because they're now coming into this phase where they're needing to hire lots of ships to move oil to India and China. But there simply isn't sufficient capacity in the market to take up that demand. And especially when you take into account that a number of the big shipping companies have actually included themselves in the sanctions against Russia, so therefore they don't want to move Russian oil. And also Russia has the major problem of finding insurance for all of that shipping, because the insurance market for shipping is dominated by countries from the West. The UK, Norway and the USA cover most of the market. And none of those companies are prepared to provide insurance for Russian shipping. And this is an issue that links directly to the proposed oil price cap. Right now, the West is looking at implementing an oil price cap somewhere in the region of $63 against Russia. So Russia's facing some major logistical problems in order to be able to replace the lost volumes to India and China. And another big issue that's now coming up very soon is the EU ban on Russian oil. So right now, European countries are permitted to buy Russian oil if they need to. There isn't an outright ban. As of December the 5th, the sanction against the purchase of Russian oil that's being transported over the seas comes into effect for all of the European Union. So those 27 countries can no longer buy that oil. So that's going to mean that we're going to see a big change in the purchasing and a big change in the volumes overnight. And Russia simply won't be able to replace that. So they're already losing lots of value, as we've seen from the charts today. But over the course of the next month or so, it's going to get much worse for Russia. And they're in a really difficult situation because, as I've mentioned previously, Russia needs to keep its production high. It doesn't have anywhere to store the oil. So I've talked about the Strategic Petroleum Reserve that the USA has. And these are huge underground storage facilities where the USA is loading large quantities of oil. And over the course of this war, the USA has actually released some of that oil into the international markets to try to stabilize prices. prices. Now, Russia simply doesn't have those storage facilities available. If it did, it could keep producing oil, put it into storage, and everything would be fine. But if it sees a massive reduction in its volumes and it can't actually find buyers, then that means that it will have to stop production. And stopping production is a disaster if you're an oil company, because that means that you can have major problems, you can have cloggage, all sorts of things go on with oil if you try to stop the flow. So the last thing that Russia wants to do is cut its volumes. But right now, it doesn't have enough buyers to replace all of the volumes it's losing from the West. So this is obviously a nightmare scenario from Russia's perspective, and that's on top of the billions of revenue that it's losing from gas sales and all of the other products that have been sanctioned by the West. So this is a perfect storm from Russia's perspective, and it's likely that GDP in Russia is going to fall by double digits this year, could be significant double digits, but unfortunately, we'll never see the real data because Russia has stopped publishing that. It doesn't want the West to see how bad things are getting, so I'm sure we'll never actually find out the real figures. But when you look at all of the statistics and you look at what's going on with its major sources of income, the future does look really bleak from Russia's perspective. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's video. You found it interesting, informative, and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.